with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
You see, Aubrey wants $10 million. He's not getting
that. He hits bombs.
He does hit bombs. He hits some dingers. Trent Brown, $2.4 million.
If it's that price, I'd put high. Just that swing tackle.
I like him as a swing tackle.
Yeah.
No, I'm fine with him as a swing tackle.
Good depth piece.
I don't want him to get projected, starter.
No.
But I'm with you on that. 7137, what is that?
A mic? Condom?
713-780-3776. So the Astros played a baseball game today.
They did.
Joe. And if it's good for Dana Brown to overreact on spring training success, we will overreact on spring training success, as can you. 713-780-3776. Astros beat the Marlins today.
They did.
I saw that. Who's that aggregator? Astros sleeper guy or whatever?
Yeah.
He was like griping about like Zach Cole hitting the ball hard and hits not falling. It's like, bro, I don't care if he gets hits right now. I just care he's hitting the ball hard.
Yeah.
And then I hit him with the I don't care about BABIP in spring. I don't think he knew what that meant.
Probably not.
I don't think he knew what BABIP meant.
I can't tell if it's a good deal or not. I saw that job posting for one of those.
What do you mean?
$500 a month to run those accounts.
Oh, for real? Yeah. I was wondering how much he got.
I think that's a bad deal.
Well, I wonder what you're asked to do.
You're asked to be pretty engaged. Like, all the sleeper team accounts are pretty active, honestly.
Yeah. Like, I think 500's fair.
For the whole month? For a baseball team?
Yeah, I think
fair. I think for like football, that's fine. Or basketball?
I think it's fair.
But baseball, 30, that's, 28 that's, games?
I mean, you would have to do a lot of engagement to get that much money.
That's true.
Like, and then you also have like that base. Like, it's like I have a tough time thinking that there's any Astro aggregators that are making $500 a month just on Twitter.
Probably true.
So Astro sleeper getting, I don't know how much he's making, but if he's making $500 per month to be active and tweet X amount of times per day, I think that's fair. I mean, that's what, $7,000 a year?
Yeah, I still know what you're doing. Like, I feel like it just takes a lot of your time to. You gotta be like a college kid.
I probably tweet that much and I don't get that much money for my engagement.
No?
No, I don't get $500. I get money, I don't get $500. I tweet probably more than he does.
Broken system then.
Probably don't get more than he does. Probably don't tweet as much as he does.
Probably not.
No, I would do that for $500. That's not bad. That's not a bad gig. And you can do it at work, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're just like, you could be doing anything. But like, it'd be like the perfect thing to get like right out of college.
Oh, for sure.
Just be tweeting away.
Well, Texans Jacob does that. Texans Jacob is the sleeper guy, but they don't make him use the sleeper thing. He's Texans Jacob.
Oh, interesting.
And he's like, I think he's a freshman in college.
Right, like, that's a great deal. If you can get that like, college job like that,
yeah.
Like, that'd be so much fun.
Like, that's your college job, your side hustles. You just tweet all day.
Like, that's my beer and grocery money for college? Great.
Yeah, I think Texan Jacob's a freshman at U of H. I know he goes to U of H. I think he's a freshman.
Interesting.
Yeah. I was always wondering how much they made.
Yeah, I saw it randomly posted somewhere. And then I was like, that's not bad.
Interesting. Anyways, Astros beat the Marlins today over at spring training 4-1. What are your hot takes looking at the box score here?
I mean, Taylor Trammell, let's go, man.
2-for-3.
He's hitting 500 in spring so far. 2-for-3 with a home run.
You got a dong today.
I mean, look, he's just raking right now. He's making a push for that roster spot.
You know what I noticed?
What's that?
Where his home run went?
Where'd he go?
I didn't see highlights. I just saw the home run left field. He hit Apodaca. So it's like authority the other way.
I like that.
Look, I think that it's going to be tough for Lo Perfetto to beat out Trammell. Like I've been on that for a bit.
Yeah.
That account that stole your podcast name inside the icebox.
Yeah.
They threw out the idea that Trammell is going to perhaps win a job too, and which I copied my tweet that I sent, and I was like, stealing podcast names now, stealing takes.
Which like, I've put more thought into that.
I'll send a cease and desist.
I'm considering.
I mean, they were pretty cavalier about it.
Yeah, they're taking some unnecessary shots that I don't think are.
Oh, really?
I think they're childish. So.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, they got called out for stealing a podcast name. Like, so what?
And they got very upset with other people, and they're taking it out on us. And I was like, I called them.
Were they projecting?
Yeah, I said, don't be a D.
Oh, you got into this?
Oh, yeah. I got into this weekend. Someone tagged me in a tweet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't see all this new information. Yeah. What happened?
They just, responded to the fact, like, yeah, there's probably no listeners or anything. I was like, don't be a douche. He's like, I don't mean anything to you, but Jeremy opened a can of worms in my Twitter mentions.
Oh,
like,
he projected them onto me?
Yes. He said, it's not disrespect to you. Jeremy unintentionally opened the door to people being whacked.
Unintentionally? It was very intentional.
To people being whacked in my comment section.
It wasn't unintentional.
They're very upset with you.
They're not upset with me.
Seems like it.
Well, they're the ones who stole the name.
I know. Theft.
They unintentionally stole a name. How could you say somebody else unintentionally brought smoke onto you and you unintentionally stole a name?
It's true. It's true.
That's their fault. Don't project onto others.
A lot of walks today. That's good.
Yeah, I saw a quote on this.
But they struck out a lot.
McTaggart had a quote, but he didn't like attribute the quote. So like, I have no idea who it came from. But it says, we're trying to get back to our identity. That's who we are. We are really good when we see a ton of pitches and we control the at-bats and we control the tempo of the game. I think it was Espada, but I don't know for sure because he didn't say. But no, that's good. Like, seeing pitches is good. Like, they said they were going to do this last year, too, and they didn't. They do have new hitting coaches this year. And there also, like, wasn't any regulars in the lineup. And they're also facing spring training pitchers. So, like, the fact that you're drawing a lot of walks whenever you're not playing any of your regulars, maybe one or two, because Hunter played, Jake Myers played. But, and then you're facing pitchers that we've never heard of, like, cool, you're drawing walks.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
It's not really tangible.
I mean, they struck out 13 times, too. They were 6-for-7. Or there were 6-for-6 yesterday in ABS challenges.
I saw that.
But today, Walker Yannick missed one right away.
As a catcher.
As a catcher.
He was challenging a pitch, right? Mm-hmm. He wasn't challenging a pitch that he saw. He was challenging a pitch that he caught.
Did you see the umpire who had 5 in like one inning?
No.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's just like toying with it.
And then one was like right down the middle of the plate.
Hunter Brown, 2 innings, 2 shutouts.
Two innings. Apparently a really nice pickoff throw.
At second.
So that's a positive, considering, you know, the Astros can't throw anyone out.
That was a storyline out of their game today. It's like the Astros are going to be working on holding runners. They said that last year, too.
Maybe they're actually going to do the things they promised they said they were going to work on last year.
This is going to be the year that they do what they said they were going to do last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to do it now. Better late than never, I guess.
Rodery Munoz, who the Astros selected in the Rule 5.
Mm-hmm.
Meh. Struck out 2 in an inning, didn't give up an earned run, but gave up 2 hits and a run.
Mm.
I don't know if he's going to make the team. Wasted Rule 5 draft pick.
Yeah, I'm leaning no right now.
Leaning no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jaden Murray, though, 2 innings, no hits, 2 Ks.
On the team or off the team?
If Munoz is out, Murray might be in. I liked Jaden Murray last year.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a lock to make. He's definitely not a lock to make the roster, but he could be on.
I think, yeah, he's on the fringe. Any other hot take spring training?
No, I think I got them all. Walker Yannick hitting 500 this spring, making a push to the roster.
Yeah,
I don't know how many bats he's taken, but
yeah, I think he's going to be spring. I think he's going to be next year ETA.
Yeah, I agree.
$500 per month is a cell phone and electric bill. I'd take that, but also refuse to pay to get verified. You know, I would imagine Sleeper's taking care of that.
Yeah,
they're taking care of the expense of paying for the verification. You would just have to tweet. You're just a hired gun. You're a mercenary.
Thinking about doing.
Doing what?
The verification.
Oh, it's well worth it.
I just want, there's been trying to book some guests for things. You gotta be verified to DM verified people. Like, for that reason alone, I've been thinking about doing it.
Oh, I mean, if you get engagement, it's going to pay for itself.
Yeah, I just got to start tweeting more to do that.
Yeah, like I cover my nut. I cover what I pay.
It was like $13 a month?
I think it depends on which one you do. Okay. I think mine might be like $9.99. Going to need a 14th month year to make $7K. Yeah, my bad. I got the bad math.
That's Jeremy's math, not my math.
I was a math major for a semester, and then I quit because I was bad at math. So
it's a good call.
It is what it is. You gotta know. It comes with the territory. You listen to us, you're not getting math. Not going to get great math.
You're going to get math, but it just might not be good math.
It's probably going to be wrong.
Yeah.
You're going to have to double check the word.
Yeah, for sure.
What's the old like carpenter saying, like measure twice, you have to cut once? That's like us. You got to measure twice with us, that way you only have to cut once.
Never heard that before, so.
You never heard that?
No.
Yeah, measure twice, you only have to cut once.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I get why I hear it, I'm like, oh, I get that.
It's a great line.
Yeah, I've never heard
that before. Maybe one of the greatest lines ever.
Nah, that's pushing it.
I don't know, man.
If Ryan's in a Mount Rushmore plus one on his Saturday
bullpen show,
I don't think it would be up there.
You don't think that'd be up there?
I don't think it would make a prize.
No, that would not
five
make my
quotes.
Mount Rushmore plus one.
Measure twice to cut once. My wife hit me with a good quote today that I hadn't heard in a while. I was like, that's a good quote. I like that.
What was it?
You know what the best day to plant a tree is? 10 years ago. You know what the second best day to plant a tree? Today.
Okay.
That's wisdom.
What's the point being made?
That you should plant a tree? No, that you shouldn't like kick yourself over things that you failed to do in the past. And like, yeah, it would have been ideal to do that in the past. But you know, you can still do it today. Start today. Yeah.
Right.
Start like it'd be great if I was working out for the last 5 years, but instead of kicking myself for it, why not just start today? Mm-hmm. It'd be great if I ate right for the last 5 years, Brian. I haven't done it, so should I kick myself over it, or should I be great from this day going forward?
Just be great from this day going forward.
It's kind of a golf metaphor, you know? Like, just hit the best shot no matter what. Try to hit the best shot you can every time you do it.
Yeah, I try.
You can't just sit there and gripe and break your clubs because you're in the trees. You got to hit the best shot with what you have presented in the moment.
I try. It just might take me three shots to get there.
That's why golf is great. It's a metaphor of life.
I'm so bad at golf. I wish I was good.
Yeah, I can't play anymore.
I wish I had the time to get good.
Same. That's what it
takes. If I had the Granado life, man.
It'd be ideal.
It'd be.
Everybody wants the Granado life. That's why I say that. Like, I want to be Granado when I grow up, and people think I'm being, like, sarcastic. And no, I legitimately do want to be Granado when I grow up.
For sure.
What do they used to call those? Life goals?
That's what they still call them.
Hashtag goals? Hashtag life goals?
Yeah.
That's it. All right. Joe thinks that Chandler Rome is fear-mongering again. Not me. Joe, is it a fair fearmonger from Rome today? Is it a fair fearmonger critique today? We'll find out. 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. Have I told you today how much I love Underdog? I love Underdog. In fact, I was doing some Underdog a little bit ago during that last break, and I was drafting a best ball, to be honest with you. NFL best balls are going on right now. Go ahead and get in the lobby. Join me in an NFL best ball. You're going to love it. But also, fast breaks, buzzer beaters, block parties are back. Underdog is the best place to get in on the action. You can make picks and win money right now in Texas. Wherever you are right now, you can make picks and win money in the Lone Star State. Also, we're going to give you a little bit of change. Download the Underdog app right now. Use promo code KILLERB. You're going to get $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. Think about that. $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. You might be down to your last $5 and you need diapers. No! Underdog. Go there. And then they're going to turn that into basically $80, and then you could win tons, which could multiply that even more. Get your picks right. You can up to 5,000 times your cash, and then you can buy all the diapers you need. But it's so easy playing an Underdog. All you have to do is pick whether your favorite players would go higher or lower on a bunch of different stats, points, assists, rebounds, steals, and more. Very intrigued with the Rockets today. Oh, by the way, Underdog, 30% profit boost today on your NBA picks. That's awesome. But Rockets, Sacramento, DeMar DeRozan, 14.5 points. Can the old man do it? He always seems to beat up on the Rockets. I'm going to click the higher on 14.5 for DeRozan today. Kevin Durant, 24.5. I'm a little uncertain there, but Noah Minn, that shouldn't factor in. Jabari, 15.5 points. He's been on a heater lately. Alpe's at 20.5. Let me scroll down to Reed Sheppard. Reed Sheppard, 15.5 points. Probably drawing the start. I'm a hater. I'm going lower on Reed Sheppard. You might think I know ball and want to tell these picks. You might think I don't want to fade them. Well, go do it right now. Download the Underdog app. Use promo code KILLERB. You're going to score $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. It's promo code KILLERB. Underdog. Make picks. Win money.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play-and-get-terms_DFS_DFS_HTML for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-MY-RESET or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Cause nobody can do it like Mix Master can. Come on!
I got the D-double-O style! Here we go again because it's been a while! Do me a favor, don't touch that dial! I ride from Manhattan to the middle of Goomah!
You're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Joe, Jeremy, and Joe. So I've been on a kick this offseason, fear-mongering Chandler Rome. It led to him blocking me. Soft move, Chandler Rome. But Joe thinks he might have picked up another fear-monger from Rome. What do you got, Joe?
Yeah, Chandler, one of the things, he focused a lot on the infield this year.
Yeah.
It was the primary focus, but
untenable.
There was an underscore of outfield discussion as well that kind of went along with what was going on with the infield. He used the word, not untenable, uncertainty, within the outfield this year. So here is Chandler on his podcast, Crush Your Territory. Him and Tyler Stafford, who I for once thought was Tyler and Stafford. but here's Chandler Rome talking about one Jake Myers.
It'll be I have found it interesting that when I was in Florida, at least when I was in the scrums with Joe Espada, he was given at least like three opportunities spread over about a week and a half to say that Jake Myers is his starting center fielder. And he never took the opportunity to do so. He has never just outright said that Jake Myers will be the team's center fielder. Now, I would be, if this is the roster construction that the Astros carry into opening day, I have a hard time believing that Jake Myers isn't going to run out to center field.
Now, see, he says that at the end.
Yeah, kind of hedges there.
Kind of hedges it a little bit.
Yeah.
But he said that this is what underlines the uncertainty in the outfield because he won't name him the starting center fielder. Where I think what he said there at the very end is the most important part. He's going to be the center fielder. There's no uncertainty. What uncertainty is there? This feels kind of fear-mongery until he kind of walks it back.
It just kind of felt like an onomatopoeia to me. Just hearing the voice feels like an onomatopoeia to me. I don't know if it's a fearmonger. I see what you're saying at the beginning where it's like, you know, Espada hasn't said he's a starting center fielder. It just feels very selective. Like, it's all over the place. Like, oh, he hasn't said that Myers is the starter, but I think he's going to be the starter. But the outfield is uncertain, which if it's uncertain, then of course Myers, who's your best defensive center fielder and actually hit above 300 last year, like would be your majority of the time center fielder. I think something we do a lot in baseball is like we project these everyday lineups and like, well, this is what your starting nine is going to be every day, when in actuality they have 145 unique lineups a single season. Like, what's the point of an everyday lineup if it's not every day? It's not the baseball of the past. These dudes are platooning left and right. They're pinch hitting left and right. They're running out unique lineups left and right. They don't have the same lineup more than twice in a row ever, it seems like. Injuries play a part. Rest days play a part, you know, day games play a part. I just don't really know what he's saying. Like, he's accusing Espada of not naming him a starter whenever he's had the chance. He's like trying to say, like, does that mean there's an avenue for somebody else to be the primary center fielder?
Well, I think that's
but then he projects that he is going to be the primary center fielder. So it feels like all over the place, kind of talking out of both sides of the mouth.
No, look, if Cam Smith had an incredible spring from the plate, and also so did Cole, and they would have got a Michael Conforto, like maybe there would have been a path to Jake not being the everyday center fielder. But I just think, like, of all the uncertainty that there could be in the outfield, that to me feels like the one spot where there's almost full certainty of who the guy is going to be. It's going to be Jake.
Yeah, that's what I don't really understand.
Like, it's Jake's in center. Cam Smith isn't right. You traded Jesus Sanchez. Hit a nice little rope today.
He did. Yeah, I'm scared of his season, actually.
And Cole, Alvarez, and Altuve are your left fielders. Like, I don't see a path to Loperfido.
I don't even know if Altuve's going to play left.
Yeah, I don't see Loperfido or Trammell winning a job in spring. They better not win a job in spring.
Yeah, I don't really understand what he's trying to say. Do I think the outfield is uncertain? I do think the outfield's uncertain, but I think that the most certain of them is Jake Myers.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, like, that's what's confusing to me. Like, my takeaway from this was, like, is Espada not saying that because Jake Myers could be packaged with Isak Paredes to trade for another outfielder? Like, that's where my mind goes. Because if Myers is on this team, of course he's your center fielder most days.
Yeah, now,
until he tells you he's not because he's not producing.
Yeah, and now, as Chandler said, he was there. So I don't know if there was a moment where he was asked directly about this and then didn't give an answer. If that was the case, I would feel differently. If he was, is Jake Myers your starting center fielder? Which I don't know why anyone asked, but if someone did and he said, oh, well, we'll see how it plays out, that would be different. But I don't think that's what Chandler's alluding to either.
I would love to hear the pieces that he's saying that he had the opportunity to say it and didn't. Like, I'm curious to see what that sounds like.
Yeah.
I would love to hear what that sounds like.
Yeah.
Because, you know, some people have different perspectives on things. Like, I don't recall a time that Espada was asked directly, is Jake Myers your everyday center fielder?
I don't either.
So, there's a little bit of innuendo here. There's probably a little bit of, like, how you receive things. I would be very curious to hear the three occasions that he's referring to where Espada had the opportunity to name him a center fielder and didn't. Like, has he named Jeremy Peña his starting shortstop? Like that,
I think he has.
Right? Like, and maybe that's just what they think of Myers, because Myers had a good offensive season last year, and he's a Gold Glove finalist. So maybe they just view Jake Myers as an obvious answer to who the center fielder is, so they haven't announced Jake Myers as the center fielder because they think they don't have to because it's obvious.
Yeah, that's kinda,
same thing with Peña.
Yeah, like, that's kind of my inclination, too, is like it's Walker. Like everything to me is certain outside of left field and maybe right field.
Right.
And even then, I feel pretty certain about right field.
I think they're going to play Cam there a lot.
Yeah, I would be.
Like, well, if they play Yordan 50 games in left field, he's your 50-game left fielder. So maybe in those 50 games, they could have a platoon in right field.
Sure.
You know, or like, okay, Yordan, this is one of Yordan's left field days. So now that it's one of Yordan's left field days, maybe we start Zach Cole in right against the righty and we don't have Cam Smith. Or maybe he just starts in center over Jake Myers for a day. But if you ask me who gets the most starts in center field on this team without injury or trade, I mean, Jake Myers is going to start out there 140 times.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I think we all know that, right? And Chandler gets there at the end.
Yeah.
Chandler, by the end of it, says, now, if this is the roster that they break camp with, he's going to start mostly in center field. So he thinks it's obvious. You think it's obvious. I think it's obvious. Don't we all think it's obvious that Jake Myers is going to be the center fielder?
Mm-hmm.
So if everybody thinks it's obvious and Joe Espada thinks it's obvious, why would Joe Espada, with some sort of hint or innuendo, be like, yeah, he's our everyday center fielder?
Yeah.
When everybody already thinks it's obvious. Like, it's redundant at that point.
I feel
just like Jeremy Peña being the everyday shortstop is obvious that it doesn't need to be said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of it was weird to me. That whole take was kind of weird to me. I don't know if it's so much a fearmonger as it is weird. Maybe just him using the word, like, what was the word he used again for the outfield? Maybe that was the fearmonger.
Yeah.
That the outfield is, you know, underscores the uncertainty. Which I don't necessarily disagree with, though.
No,
I think there is uncertainty to the outfield.
I think the uncertainty isn't about a reflection of who's going to be out there. It's the production you're going to get from it.
Okay, that's fair.
I think that, to me, is the uncertainty.
Well,
is.
I think how you divided bats is going to be uncertain. Because, I mean, how much does Yordan factor into left? Is it 10 games? Is it 50 games?
Yeah.
How many games does Jose Altuve factor in left? Is it 15 games or 0 games? You know,
I'm starting to lean towards zero.
And then the productivity of, look, I think they could stick him out in left every now and then still. Like, why aren't they doing it yet? Because they're managing his load and they don't want him to get worn out chasing outfield fly balls.
Yeah.
In February.
I think you also have to figure out how good Paredes is going to be at second base.
Yeah, that matters.
Before you really figure out what Altuve's role in left field is going to be. Because if Paredes just can't do it.
Right.
It does lead to some issues.
Possible.
It does lead to more issues for this roster. Actual issues, then.
Oh, yeah.
But if he can play a good second base, then you have that flexibility there as well.
And it might, like, I don't think he's capable of playing a good second base. I would use the word passable.
That's fair.
Because if he's passable at second base, you could also cherry pick when you play him at second base. You have a 6-man rotation. Okay, let's pick the two guys that give up the most fly balls. And Isak, you're playing second base behind the two guys that give up the most fly balls.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of, in a sense, hide him whenever those guys are on the mound.
Yeah. And you don't put him up there against a lefty, with a lefty on the mound, probably.
Who for which team?
For your team, so because they're going to pull it a lot more. Is that fair? No.
No, because most of the times, if you have a lefty on the mound, the other team's probably more than likely going to stack their lineup with righties.
Oh, that's
so
true.
It actually make like seeing myself through the scenario,
true.
Like it might be more likely for him to start at second base with lefties. Because usually you get more balls to the left side against lefties because you're going to get more righties in the lineup and hitters more naturally pull the ball than go the other way.
Yep.
Especially
good
on
point.
The ground. Yeah.
That's a good point. That was a good counter.
Talking through that.
Yeah.
Which lefties are on this team?
I guess they don't really have any.
Colton Gordon making some starts?
I hope not.
Like they don't. The rotation is going to
be
Hunter Brown righty, Christian Javier righty, Emi's a righty, Burrows is a righty, McCullers is a righty. Weiss is a righty. I'm missing somebody.
Say Arrighetti.
Arrighetti's a righty. Yeah, they don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, they all
unless,
are righties.
Unless you're getting a spot start from Colton Gordon.
No, I'm surprised we're not hearing Dana Brown talk about bringing a lefty starter in.
Right.
Of all the things. Still talking about that left bat, though. Left-handed hitting bat. Got to bring it in for the third offseason in a row.
Yeah, they're very right-handed heavy. Let's look. These are the little things that the baseball men think about, you know? Little thing. Okay, fly ball pitcher. That's when Isak's going to play second. If they had a lefty, maybe you hide him at second that day.
What's funny is those are also the days you want Altuve at second.
I know. But
you're just kind of stuck.
This is really, like, a lot of people talk about the roster imbalance or whatever. The roster imbalance is not so much that you have an infield surplus. The roster imbalance is that you have three DHs.
Yes.
And two bad second basemen. Like, Yordan's a DH, Altuve's a DH, Yiner's a DH. The two guys that are going to get the most starts at second base, barring trade and injury, are terrible defensive second basemen. Mm-hmm. We might not have enough information on Isak yet to know that, but I'm pretty confident saying he's not going to be a plus defensive second baseman. Here's the question I have thrown out there, though, on my Twitter, at Jeremy Branham. If both guys, Jose Altuve and Isak Paredes, started 150 games at second base, you know, hypothetical scenario, they both started 150 games at second base, which of the two would have better defensive metrics?
I mean, they were pretty unkind to Altuve, the metrics, to be honest. The defensive run saved one specifically is really bad.
They're
for
not too kind for Isak, even though we think he plays a solid third.
Yeah. I would lean Altuve just because the familiarity with it is going to help him. Yeah. Like, I think like there might be games where you're just like, you might just have to go yikes with Paredes at second base. He might make mistakes that we're not quite prepared for. Overthrows to first base, short hopping at the first base. The range isn't particularly good, I would imagine, at second. Not that Altuve's is any better. But I think they'll probably favor Altuve, but slightly.
Yeah, I lean that way too, but I think it'd be very close.
And they'll both be bad.
Oh, they'll both be bad.
Yeah, metrics-wise.
Pick your poison here. Which one's the lesser of two evils? All right, 713-780-ESPN. The Astros are predicted to have the 13th best offense in baseball. Do you like the higher or the lower there when it's all said and done? 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
They call me the Huntington Bank bad boy. They call Joe.
Is that
Joe
accurate?
I'm Joe.
Please pronounce Paredes in your native half-sican tongue, Jeremy.
Paredes.
A tetamias to you.
And I'm Mexica.
Isak Paredes. It's hard to talk Spanish whenever you have this song playing in the background.
It is a bit strange.
It's a little difficult. It's hard for me to get to that half of me whenever this is playing in my head.
I can't see you listening to Korn back in the day.
No, I've never listened to Korn. Junkie says, Korn for the win! Another junkie says, have you been unduly subjected to the word untenable? You may be entitled to compensation or a cash settlement.
Was this like the Camp Lejeune hotline?
Yeah.
Should we start it?
Yeah. Untenable. Yeah, it's been the word of the offseason for the Astros.
It has been.
Yeah, it has been. YouTube's Keith says, I call him Chandler Gnome. Why do you call him Chandler Gnome?
It's funny.
I don't know why you guys say so many bad things about Chandler.
I like Chandler.
I've never met Chandler. Have you met Chandler?
Yeah, a couple times.
How is he as a person?
Well, the first time I met him, he ignored me, so I wasn't totally sure.
Why?
I don't really know, to be honest with you.
What do you mean ignored? Yeah.
There needs to be detail there. What do you mean ignore?
Just drop that.
Okay, we were doing a show at Minute Maid, myself, Clanton and Wex.
Yeah.
From the auxiliary broadcast booth.
And he was just talking to the talent?
He came on as a guest. He said hello to Wex and Clanton, and I was in the room, and we literally didn't say a word to each other.
I don't think that's abnormal, actually. Like, you talk to the talent, you don't really say anything to the producer.
I don't know. I kind of feel like you say hi to everybody in a room.
I'm letting him off the hook for that.
I find that to be 50-50. Some guests will, but yeah, not all of them.
I don't think it was.
That's not uncommon.
I'm not sure it was intentional because then the next time we interact, I also think something might have been said to him by one of the guys.
That you said?
No, of like, hey, that was weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, hey, why did you big league him?
Yeah.
All right. And then what about the second time?
It was all good. We had a nice little conversation.
Yeah, is he kind of quirky and weird? I get the feeling he's kind of quirky, kind of like not antisocial, but kind of like, you know.
I think he's
kind of quirky.
He's very.
I think I'm pretty quirky for what it's worth.
He's very different, I would say, in terms of, like, he's very unfiltered.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, very unfiltered.
Interesting.
He's just dropping F-bombs?
Yeah, let it fly a little bit.
Oh, my goodness, Jasper. Jasper said this intro is corny. Go. See ya.
See ya.
You're corny. You're gone. See you later, Jasper.
Oh, Brian's gone for 2 days. I can't find the button.
Brian's out of his...
Caught me while I was getting the next song ready, so I had to pull the page back up.
Wheatstraw says, can you play some Elote? You're gone, too. Same ejection. Don't have to play it again. You're gone, Wheatstraw. That's brutal. Can you play some Elote? Stop pronouncing the sock wrong. I'm not. I'm not pronouncing the sock wrong. I spell it wrong.
Do you think it's Isaac, the person who texted that?
I don't know. Maybe they're just a gringo. I don't know. Chandler Rome just wants you to have a take and not suck. Thanks for the vine. Wrong Rome. Rack 'em. I played against Tyler Zuber in high school, and by play, I mean he pitched and I watched from the dugout. That's what I mean whenever I play.
Don't sell yourself short. You were a 400 hitter.
I was a 400 hitter in high school. That is accurate, but I did more watching than playing. I was 2 for 5.
And then you get a hit off a big leaguer?
I got a hit off Jay Bruce.
There you go.
He was a sophomore. I was a senior, and he didn't pitch after that year.
You ruined his confidence.
I might be the legend killer. I might be. Yeah. I think I am solely the reason that Jay Bruce became a hitter only.
Start calling you Gunther. He killing careers.
He couldn't get a 1-2 fastball by me. And he's like, if I can't get a 1-2 fastball by that guy, then I probably shouldn't be a pitcher
just
anymore.
Focus I should on head him. Out to the outfield.
I should just go hit 400 career home runs.
Yeah.
I don't think he did that, actually. I think I'm thinking Adam Dunn with 400.
Dunn definitely did.
Bruce was good, though.
He definitely had a few good seasons. I don't think he had 400, though.
I think he was on those Griffey Reds. He
got 319.
Okay, I knew he hit a ton. Yeah, it wasn't
more than I thought.
No, he was a good hitter, man. They always talked about him coming to Houston. Remember, like anytime he was like available, oh, he's gonna come to Houston. He's a Houston native. He's gonna come to Houston. He's a Houston native.
Drayton try to get that hometown discount.
Never happened. Yeah, Beaumont Westbrook, Bruce. Yeah, I ruined his high school career on the mound. I'm the reason that he never pitched again. 713-780 ESPN HRMP listener line. Little man syndrome in full force. Which little man are you talking to, though? If you're going to say little man syndrome in full force, you got to be specific on which little man. You got to be specific. Bruce, I give up a hit to Jeffrey Brenham.
Jeffrey Brenham.
And then another junkie is talking about Chandler and Korn. I'm not going to read the full sentence.
Yeah.
So. 713-780 ESPN. We just BS through that segment. Astros 13th best offense in baseball. Do you think they're gonna be higher or lower than that this year? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9
HD2. ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
You know who this is? Zach Brown.
I do know that.
Do you know what this song's going to be the anthem of?
No.
This is going to be your new anthem to NCAA March Madness.
Oh, really? I like.
Do you?
It's different.
I don't think it's really symbolic.
It's not. Basketball. It's not.
Like, but I like the song. I like Zach Brown. Do I think it like pairs nicely with March Madness?
Not really, but I like that we're changing it up a little bit. Because I feel like it's always Fall Out Boy, Imagine Dragons, or something adjacent to that.
You remember what it was last year?
Nope.
Lady Gaga.
Really?
Yeah, you'll hear it. You'll remember when you hear it. This was last year's March Madness. You don't remember this being March Madness?
No, I don't.
This was it. This abracadabra. Every time they went to break and came back from break, Lady Gaga abracadabra.
Every time?
Yeah. This was the song of March Madness last year. So, like, they go, like, it's weird. Like, neither one of these songs, and I like Lady Gaga. I don't hate this song. But it doesn't pair with March Madness.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Like, Abracadabra, March Madness. Like, ah. And then the Zac Brown songs, give it away. Like,
Magic
you're gonna,
of March?
You're gonna have a,
going for?
You're going to have a 13 seed upset of four after like a costly turnover, and they're going to play give it away as they go to break.
Well, they gave it away.
I don't really understand the pairings of these.
No, they don't, I guess.
Like the song in a vacuum.
I like the
don't
song.
Like the, don't like the marriage here.
Yeah, I like that they're trying something different.
Yeah.
Doesn't really hit the mark.
No. You know what's happening here? It's probably big music that's coming together with these corporations. Like, yeah. Hey, you know, give us a little. There's probably some sort of back channeling.
They might not even be picking it.
Pump your music.
It's kind of like how the right. The Super Bowl halftime show is picked by, like,
Paramount.
By Jay-Z.
Yeah, exactly. I bet there's, like kind of what you said, there's a group that's, here's your song.
There's
yeah.
something behind the scenes that like makes like they're boosting up Abracadabra and Lady Gaga.
Zac Brown would be a reason. Would be a banger for a halftime show at the Super Bowl.
Interesting. I do like Zac Brown. I do like Zac Brown.
There's a petition going out for the Super Bowl halftime show next year.
Really?
Yeah.
What for?
Started by and for the Backstreet Boys.
Oh, I mean that would be larger than life.
I mean,
come on. It was right there.
It was good.
Brian's been sitting on that one for weeks.
He was ready for it.
I don't know if that would even come up.
It was good.
I was off the top of the head, bro.
Like, you know, next time Backstreet Boys come up, I'm going to play this card. He's added in the chamber. He's been on the. He's got his hand on the trigger waiting for it. Backstreet Boys. Boom!
You know how many notes I have in my phone? Like, all right. As soon as we reference Backstreet Boys.
Just like a note of references. Yeah. Like,
here's what I say.
I'm going to get to these.
Knowing Brian, he's got them sorted A through Z where he can sort by group name and then saying the first letter of the joke.
Yeah, don't bring up 98 Degrees. Yeah. I don't have one for that yet.
I don't even know the other songs.
That's the Nick Lachey group. Yeah.
My wife's been making me watch Love is Blind.
Dana watches that?
Yeah.
Sounds terrible.
D'Amico watches. It is awful.
I don't believe that she's making you.
Well, I'm working when she watches it.
Okay.
She asked if he's been watching the room. I'm like, anything for you, sweetie. Jasper says, if I'm ejected, then at least let me come throw my head on the ground in studio and stomp out. Jasper, you're ejected. You can't say anything else the remainder of the show. Can't do it. I haven't heard that song in 20 years. Oh, he's talking about a different song. He's talking about The Flies. Got you where I want you. All right, so ESPN has the Astros as the 13th ranked offense in baseball. Do you think they'll finish higher or lower? Let's just go runs here. Will they finish higher or lower than 13th in the league in runs?
I'm going to go higher.
Homer.
I think they're pretty fairly
Hank the Homer over here.
To be honest with you. There's only a couple teams in front of them that I think they could pass.
Okay. Who are you having passing?
I'm not totally sold on Baltimore.
Never mind.
Okay.
They do have like young pieces that are fun.
And Jackson Holliday is going to miss a good chunk of the season with a hammock bone already. You got Pete Alonso, should be good still. Adley Rutschman, up and down. Taylor Ward, feels like a nice acquisition. But they got guys like Colton Cowser who like put up big numbers at times. I'm not totally sold on Baltimore's lineup.
Cy Ranch, I think, Colton Cowser.
Sounds right.
Played at Sam Houston.
Arizona is another one, too, where I'm just not sure that like Ketel Marte is on their team for the whole season.
That park helps them, though.
And Corbin Carroll's hurt, isn't he? Didn't he get hurt?
Yeah, I think he had something with his hand, too.
Because he's not...
He had a broken bone.
I think he's a hammock bone, too.
Yeah, it might be hammock.
So...
Which those don't take forever to recover from.
No, unless you're, you know, Gordon Alvarez.
Well, that wasn't a hammock. I hate when people say that. No, you would know. What do you mean, supposedly? You think the Astros would hide that he had a hammock?
At this point, yes.
Why would they hide that he had a
hammock? I don't know.
That gives you reason. It gets them off the hook, which is funny because it's kind of a hook bone.
It
kind of looks like a hook.
Yep, that's good. You should have just rolled with it.
I'm the most hilarious, unintentional person that I know.
Not sure about that. I think they could finish in the top 11.
Last year, they were 21.
They were that low last
year?
Yeah,
but I mean, they averaged less than 4.25.
Yeah.
But I mean, you didn't have Yordan for most of the year.
Yeah, I'm definitely banking on Yordan being healthy.
Walker's first half was terrible. Yiner didn't have what you would anticipate Yiner to have. I actually think they're going to be ahead of this. I think they'll finish with a top 12 offense.
Yeah, it
so
is interesting.
I called you Homer and Hank. I'm also Homer and Hank here. I think they will be better than that.
Did you notice that in the ESPN base lineup, what's missing?
Yeah, you suck.
Yeah.
But it is.
They don't have him factored in. They have Lopez.
Every opening day lineup that I've seen with the Astros does not have Isak Paredes in it.
Yeah.
And you know what the Astros are going to do to troll these people? They're going to have Yordan play left field on opening day, and they're going to have Isak Paredes DH.
Yeah.
And it's I'm going to laugh my – you know what? I'm, you know what, you already have it planned out. I'm like Brian with his jokes that he has in the chamber ready to go, and he thinks out weeks in advance. It's what he does at night. You know what I'm going to do on opening day? If the Astros don't make a trade, Joe, if there's not any injuries, Joe, they're going to have the Astros opening day lineup, and I'm going to quote tweet the lineup, or I might screen grab it. I'll probably screen grab it because they're always so slow to post the lineup for some reason. And I'll say, what's wrong with Espada's lineup? And then underneath that tweet, that's going to have Isak Paredes as your DH. It's going to have Yordan in left field. I'm going to put hashtag untenable.
Yep. I like it.
That's what I'm going to do.
They also have, Cam Smith. Cam Smith not in the lineup.
Really?
They
have Zach Cole.
This lists Joey Loperfido in right field.
That's dumb.
Exactly.
That's a dumb
lineup. You're making a lineup projection of what the Astros are going to do this year, and you have Loperfido in it?
Yeah, it's dumb.
Like, if you think Loperfido and Cole are going to be your corner outfielders as your base lineup.
I didn't even read their lineup.
Yeah.
I didn't even read their lineup.
Yeah. That's why I'm shocked there's highest 13 if that's their outfield next year. That's not 13.
No.
That's
dumb.
So you think they'll be top 12?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
maybe I'm being a homer and Hank here. Brian's our resident Astro hater. Maybe he can talk some sense into us. Brian, do you think the Astros will be higher or lower than 13th in baseball in runs?
I'm actually with you guys. I don't think it's drastically higher. I think they're like 11th or 12th.
Yeah, I think it'll be hard to crack the top 10.
But on the technicality, I think they're above this.
Interesting. All right, we're all Homer and Hanks today. Junkie, I think they're around a 9 or 10. I don't think 13. I think 13 is too far. If they stay healthy this year, they're going to have a good offensive team. That's obviously the big if because the Astros have had trouble staying healthy. Astros are going to be 5th because 6 is afraid of 7 because 7, 8, 9. See ya. Gone.
You are.
If we're going to do cheesy
here.
Jokes on the show, you got to leave it to us. You're going to do terrible, corny jokes. Leave it to the talent.
I do.
That was fun.
2 weeks ago.
That was a good time.
It was a good time.
You're making Jose Jorge's returning
next Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, you're doing it
next
on Wednesday.
Tuesday.
You're going to do it Tuesday?
You're not going to be here Wednesday. Pero mi hago el momento de perder. I'm not doing this with Michael Connor.
Why not?
Because it's not as funny. Well, it could be funny.
Does he speak a St. Louis language?
No. Ginger's not a language.
He doesn't speak baseball?
He does speak baseball.
Okay, should we do it, like, keep it on Thursday? We push it back to the next Thursday we work together? Or should we do it on a Tuesday? I don't really think it resonates outside of a Thursday.
Okay, then just the next Thursday we're all here, which could be in April.
So first Thursday of the month that we're all here together.
Okay, so in April.
Really?
Well, I'm out the next two Thursdays, and then March Madness starts. Yeah. To where, unless the Cougs are playing here in Houston, we won't see you for the last 2 weeks of March.
Yeah, but I could do the show.
Well, yeah, but we like it when you're in studio. I can't see your face I can't see you laughing at me.
That's something I've never heard.
Yeah.
People want to see my face, which you can right now. YouTube, ESPN Houston. Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. All right, how about this Astros front office? How much pressure does this Astros front office have on it? And where does it stack up against the rest of baseball? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5.